Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. Sean Cantwell and Adam Harahuck back in the friendly confines of the South State Studios in downtown Lapeer.
Yes.
It's been so weird not being out on location somewhere, man.
It is, especially since there was so much going on at the Eastern Michigan State Fair, and now we come to a very eerily quiet Lyric Mall. I think we're the only ones here.
We might very well be. It's weird, man. I'm almost not used to being just back in the studio and not around people. Well, we're gonna be hitting the road again next week, it looks like. So
on the road again.
Like, we just cannot, we just don't take much of a break from that during the summer, if at all possible. So, next week, we're going to be out at the Sanilac Youth and 4-H Festival.
Yes.
In the thriving metropolis of Sandusky. I'm going to be out there, well, at least Monday, and I don't know, possibly all week, we'll see. And he and I will for sure be out there Friday.
Yes.
All next week, when you do hear us, it'll be on WTGV as, our good friends at WMIC have a little bit of they get a little more formal than us for the week. They've got actual, like, fair info to read off and sponsors and things that all the important stuff that they do,
professional stuff.
So our normal just horsing around will be on WTGV next week.
Yep.
So that'll be a good time for all parties involved.
And then the next Friday,
Lapeer Days.
Lapeer, Friday and Saturday, we'll be broadcasting live outside downtown Lapeer, right outside the Lyric Mall, so not that far of a drive.
No, not at all. And for right outside our building. Like, you can't beat that commute. So we'll be sitting up there all weekend. Well, you're not going to be around next Friday.
Yeah, I will be. I'll be in and out, but yeah, my band's actually playing a gig. So I get to be on stage.
What's a guy got to do to get a gig at Lapeer Days? Like, you haven't played a gig in 10 years with this band. And, like, can you guys play? Like, I can't get to sniff at Lapeer Days, man.
Because you charge too much.
I guess when you get what you pay for, I suppose. St. Pauli Street was for $5 and a ham sandwich.
Well, we just didn't have Moon in our name. They're like, oh, thank God. No, but speaking of Lapeer Days, I did one of the most annoying parent things a parent could ever do.
Oh?
I entered Joey in the beautiful baby contest.
Oh, Lord.
I did. I swear I have made fun of parents for doing this, and here I am. I plucked down $15 to register him in the beautiful baby contest.
You've turned into that parent, haven't you?
I have.
You
been,
really
yes.
have.
Wait about 5 years, I'll be a stage dad.
I can't believe that we're going to have to wait 5 years for that, Adam.
5 years until he's ready. Until then, it's going to be, you know, he's going to be honing his craft. The ukulele.
Is that what it's going to be?
I don't know. He does drag around a ukulele through the house, but...
I didn't realize you guys owned a ukulele.
Yeah, we do. Nobody's ever played it. It's never been in tune.
And it's definitely not in tune now.
No. But it still has all four strings, so I guess that we got that going for us, which is nice. He wants to play the guitar, but he doesn't want to play the guitar. He wants to turn the knobs. And so I actually have to take a Crown Royal bag and put it around the tuning keys of my guitar.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's all you need. He's, like, messing with your tuners before you go on stage at Lapeer Days.
Luckily, yeah, yeah. Luckily,
no one will tell the difference.
Luckily, we don't have to worry about a talent portion of it. It's basically, they just read his favorite color is red. His favorite things to do is, you know, open up the doctor's office door and run through the hallway and wearing just a diaper. That happened this week. You know, that kind of stuff.
I guess I don't understand. Who judges this? Like, how do you judge this sort of competition?
I don't know, but I guarantee it that they probably selected three people who take the job way too seriously.
Well, of course they take it way too seriously. Like, that just goes without saying.
I've been judges for different things, and I'm always paired up with people who just, like, take it way too seriously. Like, I want everybody to have a fair chance, and I'm going to judge harshly. I was like, they're kids. And in this situation, they're babies.
Like, I don't even know what we're judging on. What's the... Cause, I mean, you're talking to a guy who thinks all babies look like Edward G. Robinson, man. Yeah, see?
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty much.
I want a sippy cup. Wow.
So, like,
I don't know. Basically, if the kid comes out crying because there's a bunch of people looking, they probably get looked down upon. Joey's probably going to be smiling, waving at everybody. Blowing kisses. He's going to be a shoe-in.
He's already just doing the whole the beauty pageant thing.
Yes.
Like the,
He does. We had his baby blessing, and we thought he was, like, going to freak out. No, he was just, and everybody started clapping for him. He started clapping, laughing. He was having a great time.
Well, maybe he stands a good chance. What's the prize in this sort of thing, anyway?
You know what? I don't know. I have no idea.
Like a year supply of baby food or something?
No, he's not. He's not on baby food. We had Village Station pizza the other day. He mowed that down.
How old is this kid again? Remind me.
19 months.
He'll okay, be, now you're be, making me do math.
He'll be. He's a.
He's a year and a half.
Year and a half. He'll be. Okay. He'll be 2 years old. 2 days after Christmas.
You guys in the month thing. Like, I'm sorry. After we get beyond the first year, don't ask me to do that, man. Yeah, he's 57
yeah,
months.
Yeah, that used to. No, after 2 years, you stop doing that. But yeah, there's a big difference between 12 months and 16 months. There really is.
Yeah.
I mean, he has more teeth. He talks more. And
already mowed down on pizza in a year and a half, though.
Yeah. Much to my mother's dismay, because she's a big, you know, health guru. And, yeah. So, but he also likes fresh vegetables, and he loves bananas. Loves bananas. Just a sickening amount of bananas.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not gonna judge your kid for that. Like, he's actually choosing to eat healthy at this stage. Trust me, they get out of that quick.
Yeah,
it's eventually it's just gonna be all the, you know, the chocolate frosted sugar bombs and what have you, forever and ever from there.
Yeah, we tried to feed him ice cream. He didn't like that. He didn't like the cold.
Huh.
Yep. And quite frankly, he doesn't eat much. Usually the dog gets everything because he likes to feed the dog. He likes to throw the food at the dog. Dog thinks that's a great game.
Well, as long as the dog enjoys it, I guess.
Yep.
As long as he's having a good time, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Dog loves it.
Well, good. That's ultimately what matters, I suppose. I guess it you know, staves him off from, you know, going after the kid. So,
yeah.
Building a good relationship early on.
Yeah, because, you know, if anybody, like, shows any aggression to the kid, he's going to be like, wait a minute, that's my meal ticket. Back off.
Exactly. This kid's getting, you know, buying me a free dinner.
Yeah, right. Because every time we feed him, the dog's like, okay, here we go. What are we having, kid?
Exactly. Much to do today. Comedian Dustin Cole drops by a little bit later on, and we got a Tigers burning question or two to address next. It is happy hour. Stick around. So, since last we talked, the Detroit Tigers have made some moves, and almost more notably are the moves that they didn't end up making. Particularly, Tarek Skubal didn't get moved, but Mark Canha and Jack Flaherty did.
We saw that happen. We saw Flaherty moving.
We knew that was going to happen. It was almost kind of inevitable, really. Like, they weren't going to commit to giving him an extension. And again, there's nothing that says, and we know this is Wings fans, there's nothing that says they can't try and re-sign him again in the offseason. How many years in a row did they re-sign Thomas Vanek?
At least two or three? Yeah, something like that. Or Todd Gill. You know how many times Todd Gill made his appearance in a Red Wings sweater?
And then promptly got traded elsewhere and came back? Like, it can absolutely happen.
He's like that dog, you try to get away, you drive a couple miles, drop him off, and he finds his way home.
But that's kind of what I think a lot of us are hoping for with that. But so those trades went down, and notably, Tarek Skubal is still here, and it looks like it's going to be here for the foreseeable future. And this apparently was as good a time as any for Tigers general manager Scott Harris to finally speak to the media. And not just the state-run media that is the podcast that Dan Dickerson and Jason Vannetti do, but like actual people who are going to answer, like, who aren't Tigers employees that are going to ask tough questions.
Right.
And I have a couple bits of audio to play you from those press conferences. First off, here's the Tarek Skubal thing. You tell me whether you think that this is a man that was ever actually going to explore a trade for Skubal, or whether he was going to try and build around it. Take a listen.
There was a ton of, obviously, buzz about Skubal. How close did you come to trading Skubal, if at all?
Not close. There are a lot of rumors that float out there. There are a lot of unconfirmed reports that are just totally inaccurate. We never came close to trading Skubal.
So knowing that he only has 2 years of control left, which, of course, everybody talked about, do you believe next year, since you don't want to waste those 2 years, would you guys be more active in free agency and so-called go for it next season, do you think, timeline-wise?
Yeah, it's July right now. Like, we got a lot of work to do this year. Like, we have a really important second half for this team. both to continue to demonstrate that we can play competitive baseball for long stretches of time on this field, and we have a lot of young players in the big leagues who need to get a whole lot better. I think you guys are seeing some flashes of it. I think when you see some of these players, what they look like in April and now what they look like in July, like it's a good example of what we can be as an organization. But we can't just start looking into the winter right now. Like, we have a lot of work to do in August and September. To make sure that the players on this team and the players that are going to impact this team in the second half are coming up and getting better. So that's where our focus is right now. We can tackle those questions later on.
Just one more about Scoble. Was it ever tempting to trade Scoble, considering the offers you might get?
I can't really comment on that. Yeah.
So I'm now kind of curious, did he ever even really attempt to move Scoble?
Well, there was something I just passed by, just headline only. That the Dodgers, they were trying to make a deal and couldn't get it done.
No, they ended up settling for Jack Flaherty instead.
Right. I mean, I'm glad. I'm glad Scoble isn't being moved. He didn't get moved.
I get the sense that
whole first part where they weren't considering on moving, I don't buy that for a minute.
No, I feel like the offer that was out there was that they would accept was not something that a lot of teams were willing to pay the price tag on. Like, I tend to think that it was something more like what I had proposed before, like, I need Kobe Mayo and Jackson Holliday to even consider it. And the Orioles did not end up having to give up either one of those guys, ultimately. And I think that maybe that kind of, that was something that played into it to an extent. Like, the Tigers wanted more than teams were willing to pay. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Like, if it's just that teams weren't willing to pay to get our guy and Scott Harris wasn't going to sell him for, like, next to nothing, I can be fine with that. I can be entirely fine with that. Now, as far as, and later in the week, he was doing an interview on a station in Detroit and saying that, oh, he doesn't think that they're wasting a Cy Young caliber pitcher in Scoble, but if you're not going to attempt to build around him while he's still here and get him to stay around long term, and then are you not wasting his, you know, you're wasting a Cy Young caliber pitcher. Like, you absolutely are. Yep. Like, he seemed to rather take offense to that statement. But there's really no other way to look at it unless this team is actually willing to spend this offseason. Then there was another bit of audio. He was asked later on about the message that he'd send to the fans. Take a listen to that.
My message to the fans is look around and see how much healthier the organization is. See the momentum that we have here. See the young talent we have in the big leagues and the young talent that we've added in just the last year and a half. Like, whether you want to look at top 100 prospect lists, whether you want to look at the past two drafts, whether you want to look at a few of the trades that we have made over time, like, we feel like we are building this the right way. We feel like anyone who walks into this building can look around and see that there is positive momentum in this organization.
Is there, though? I don't see it. I really don't.
I mean, not if you're judging by the last four games where they've dropped all the last, they haven't won since Saturday. But, I mean, in that time, a little bit before and after the All-Star break, there was a lot of life in the Tigers. Now, the whole young talent on the team, the young talent coming up, that, I don't know. I'm not exactly sold on that.
I don't know if I'm really considering Riley Green to be that young talent at this point. He's been in the league long enough, unless you're really considering Colt Keith and his now robust .255 batting average to be to be like that young talent. I mean, Winsele Perez, no one saw that one. That kind of came out of seemingly nowhere. Like, I'm not giving that much props in that regard, because no one expected him nor Kerry Carpenter to be like everyday starting players in this lineup. They just kind of got lucky, quite honestly.
Yeah.
So I'm not really buying that. No, this is all part of our plan, because then if that's the case, then the thing that you built all of this around, Spencer Torkelson, is currently sitting in Toledo, and he's not hitting all that great down there.
Right. I don't know. I mean, what do you expect him to say? Do you say, "Oh, we're an absolute dumpster fire, buy season tickets"?
You know, I would at least respect that.
Yeah, but it would. The PR department would be like, "Come on, dude, you're killing us over here," and that's not what Chris Ilitch wants to hear. He wants him to come out there and say, "No, everything's fine. Everything's just fine. We dropped the last four the last three. We're gonna do just fine."
Like I do get the sense, and well, that'll be evident in this last piece of audio I have for you, that on some things he's a bit hamstrung by ownership, and are they going to let him do the spending he needs to do and make the moves that need to be made? Because he was asked yesterday about Javi Baez.
Ah, yes. Spent a lot of money
for the current paperweight that occupies shortstop for the Tigers.
Exactly.
And he was asked specifically about a buyout. Is that something that this team has considered? Take a listen to this.
We haven't explored that at all. Javi has been working really hard, and we've been working really hard with him on his swing and on his defense to help him recapture the qualities and the performance that earned him this contract in the first place. So we haven't explored that idea yet.
So I get that they can't say midseason, yeah, we're looking to buy him out, he's terrible and all that. But if something isn't at least discussed this offseason, I feel like then there's a problem. I feel like that says more about Chris Ilitch and a willingness to make the tough decisions and spend the money than anything else ever could.
Yeah. I mean, you can't actually look us in the eye and say Baez is doing a great job, because he hasn't. Not with the paycheck that he comes with. Well, he's batting still under .200.
Yeah, like he's...
Anybody else would have been sent defense, back to the minors.
Yeah, and the defense hasn't been great either. I mean, at times he still makes some of those great plays, but he's also got... I think about as many errors as anybody playing short this over this season. Like he hasn't been certainly the Javi Baez of old. Yeah, he's still hitting 178.
Yeah, he's making a buku bucks every year. So that, I mean, this for that GM to look us straight in the eye and tell us, "Oh, we're happy with what he's doing. We're working." You know, I don't buy it. But what is he going to say again? What is he going to say? I was like, "Oh yeah, he's absolute trash. We want to buy him out. We want to have him go live with a nice family upstate." He can't do that.
And again, I get, I mean, the question had to be asked, but I can get at least that you can't say mid-season,
right,
that, okay, this guy is terrible, and because that's just, you think that the production's bad now, that's only going to make it worse.
Right.
And he's going to try his damnedest to get bought out at that point. But all I'm saying is if it doesn't happen this offseason, then There are some tough questions that really have to be answered and addressed here.
Because he's signed through 2026, is he not?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, you got another couple years of this mess.
Yeah, that's not good. Because you're not gonna get a trade partner for him.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Nobody's stupid enough to take on that contract.
Yeah, you basically need him to turn it around long enough to have some other team offer to take that contract, or you're going to have to probably eat a good chunk of that contract in a trade with another team, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh absolutely. There's anybody take a flyer on him. Because he's, let's say he just go from here until September, he goes on a tear. Even if you get a potential trade partner, they're going to be like, okay, yeah, from August 2nd till September, he did really well. But let's talk about April to August.
Now, yeah. You're not going to find a whole lot of takers on that. So, no, it's going to be like it has to be a buyout. There's absolutely no way around this. And I don't expect, admittedly, that he's going to be I don't expect that he's going to be with this team beyond this season. And if he is, it sends a message that, no, Chris Ilitch isn't willing to spend, is willing to keep an albatross in the lineup just to not have to spend the money. That's going to tell me a lot right there. Because for all the reassurance that we're getting from Scott Harris that, no, this offseason we're going to spend. I'm not going to set a timetable of any sort, and he's been very clear on that. He is not interested in setting any sort of timetable for this team. But he has at least suggested that, yeah, they'll be willing to spend money when the core is there, when the time is right, such as it is. Not sure when the time will be right, but that's neither here nor there at the moment.
That's none of your business, Sean.
Right, and well,
as a Tigers fan, that's none of your business.
And it's not going to be any of my business when I don't go to the ballpark then. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, yeah, this is true.
Then call me when we're actually trying.
That's right. Get your tickets now. We're not trying, but you know, it's still... And then a couple years later, we're finally going to give it a shot. Get your tickets now. It's Detroit Tiger baseball.
Right. I mean, why do you think they're doing things like retiring Jim Leland's number, which is a whole thing that we could spend an entire segment on, quite frankly, but we don't have the time for that.
But I love Leland, but retiring his number? Come on.
He never won a World Series here. Sorry. He was in two of them and managed to win a combined one game in those two World Series. And we're taking this man's number to the rafters.
Better than Gardenhire.
Well, pretty much anybody would have been better than Ron Gardner. Don't even get me started on that rabbit hole yet again. It's bad enough.
That'd be the rest of the show. Good night, everybody.
Right. Well, thanks for showing up, Dustin, but we're not going to need you now. Sean's just on a tear all of a sudden.
I've seen him when he's in this mood, Dustin. Let's go.
We will be talking here on the other side of the break with comedian Dustin Cole, who he's got some stuff to share with us that he's been up to.
Yeah, but he's been busy, and he's going to help us out
with some unsolicited advice. Yes. But in the meantime, we've got to hit a break. It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And joining us in studio, first-time guest on the show, at least since I've been here. You called him in once when I was out of town.
Yeah, I brought him in as a ringer. We had a great time. I told him we have to bring him in. Dustin Cole, comedian from around the area. He has toured with Cam Rowe. He's done shows with Chris Kattan. He tours regularly with Bobcat Goldthwait. He recently filmed his first hour special at the legendary Machine Shop in Flint. That you'll be seeing that very soon. And he's on Happy Hour with us right now. Dustin Cole.
It is so good to be back. I love coming downtown. Like,
There's always something to do.
There's something downtown. I don't really know where else to go with that. But there's something downtown.
That should really just be the downtown Lapeer slogan. There's something.
Well, tonight's bike night. On Monday, there's classic cars. And then there's always something going on. And in a couple weeks, the entire town is just going to shut down because of Lapeer days. It's a lot of fun coming up.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we've brought Dustin here, I mean, obviously to plug the stuff he's got coming up, and we'll give him plenty of time to do so. But really, we brought him here to do some work today because it's about that time of the week where we do what is my favorite bit we do on this show, Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice.
Yay.
Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept. Quite frankly, I think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
Now, Dustin, there's two ways we can go about it. We give them some sincere advice, or we just completely let the watch the world burn, and sometimes at the same time.
Sometimes both, and that's usually the best.
I feel like
advice
the latter is funner, right? Like
it is. It is. But sometimes it's just like, my husband keeps beating me. What should I do? It's like, we can't go. <da-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.">
Thankfully, I don't have anything quite that serious today.
Battered women. All this time I've been eating a plane. Back after this. Sorry.
How is this show legal? Like,
so let's dive right into this.
Are they
this,
an Italian boxer by chance?
Oh, I saw that making the rounds. So yeah. I wasn't even going to touch that.
Yeah, no. Okay. I'm leaving it right there. That's all.
Probably shouldn't. Yeah. So I guess let's dive in and throw Dustin right into the pool on this one.
Okay.
Dear somebody who cares, my husband is brilliant, classy, faithful, a great father, and handsome at 46 with not even a wrinkle on him. He's been in a financial rut for about a decade.
There it is.
And has let himself go. I respect him, but when I try to help him look better, he says, I don't care, go ahead and leave me, which I think is very immature. I'm becoming resentful because I've been with him for so long. I've contributed 50% to our finances and 100% to his dreams as he moved us around the USA. I'm 42 and beginning to find younger men attractive.
Oh, boy.
While I'd never cheat, I can't help but miss the man I fantasize about in my dreams. It's hurtful that he doesn't care. People think he's my father when they meet him. Please help.
Okay. Now, let's turn he to a she and she to a he, because this happens all the time. I married this woman. She really kept good care of herself. She took care of herself. She contributed. She had a job. Next thing you know, she's unemployed, and she's sneaked in about 20 pounds. I'm thinking about leaving her. What would everybody tell him? You're a dirtbag.
You're the worst person in the world.
Through sickness and in health, I guess.
Unless you get ugly.
That's right.
She said she supported his dream. What is his dream?
Stand-up comedian.
Wait, is this my wife?
Signed, Mrs. Cole.
I gotta go, guys. Oh, did I not mention that part?
I think him saying, go ahead and divorce me, I don't care, that's kind of a wrong way of going
about
it.
That's a jerk move, certainly.
I feel like that's the best advice, actually, though, isn't it? If he's really kind of given up on himself and her, you know, if we're talking, I know he had me on for like comic relief, but
oh yeah,
marriage counseling.
we swing both ways.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I don't
isolate that as a drop for later.
I feel for the guy though too, because he's 46. You know,
maybe his dream means he felt like he should have been more successful at 46. Maybe there's a depression that has seeped in, and he needs to some counseling. Maybe
that's
he
very
needs
real,
to,
actually.
He needs to really. I mean, I'm a big proponent for vitamins. I know that when I'm feeling really down, I take vitamins. The Happy Hour vitamins by Solid State Radio. Buy them at your normal store.
Go to our website and buy them. Yeah.
No, I mean
that's the whole point of this radio show. We're selling nutritional supplements.
This is an infomercial wrapped as
one of my favorite lines from a movie was Mel Gibson in Signs, and he just said, everybody needs to settle down and eat some fruit or something. And I feel like that they need to sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and do I think she's wrong for finding other people attractive? No. Do I think that, you know, she has
just being a human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she wanting him to be take better care of himself? Yes, she cares about him, and she wants him to, but instead of looking at it as he's an adversary, see, this guy needs help. He's probably gotten himself into a little bit of a rut, some depression. I think get him some vitamins, get him some counseling, and bring in another woman.
And here he goes. That's always his advice. It always leads to a threesome with this man.
It sounds like a very deep hole, too. If he's responding to her with, just go ahead and divorce me, like he's pretty much given up, too, at that point.
Or maybe that was like the 10th time in the day.
That's true.
That she brought. He's like, you know what? Why don't you just leave?
Yeah, here's my problem with that. Because he's clearly, this man's depressed. He's got some, you know, serious issues in that regard. And instead of coming with him, like, okay, what can I do to help? It's like, oh, you look ugly. You're not even taking care of yourself. Like, you're coming and beating him down further. I don't blame him for telling you to leave him.
Right, right.
It's true.
Like, instead of, like, helping him maybe reassure this man a little bit, you're just like, oh, and you're ugly, too.
Yeah, you used to look like Paul Walker. Now you look like Paul Walker now. Still wrapped around that tree.
Yeah, I guess we got to apologize to Paul Walker now.
Yeah, so I would say instead of harping on him, get him some help, get him up and moving, even if it's just...
Do something together. Get a gym membership together.
Yes.
Like, go, you know, get... Even if you got to get up at 6 a.m. to do it because of your conflicting schedules, although it sounds like he doesn't do anything,
yeah.
You know, it could be any time,
yeah.
You know. Get up, do something together. Don't force him out of the house by himself. Go with him.
That's great advice.
Support the guy. You know, he's clearly in a rut.
That's great advice. I just don't think this is working out, Dustin.
He's too good at this.
He's too good.
Can't have that. Well, we're going to have to try and... I did not expect him to have the best advice out of all of us. I think he should divorce her. Now let's move on to the next one.
Sean's
cut all contact.
Yeah, cut all contact. Next. My grandpa's 85 in hospice. God, let him go.
Cut him off. No contact. All right, let's dive into another one of these, shall we? Dear, well, maybe Dustin will have some good advice for me. For the past 10 years, my husband and I have enjoyed dining out with a couple of our friends, always splitting the check evenly. Recently, we embraced sobriety and no longer consume the expensive drinks that add significantly to the bill. Despite this, we continue to split the check evenly, which doesn't seem quite fair. We value our friendship and enjoy our time together, but we are unsure how to approach this topic. We don't want to look cheap, but we also want to be fair. Is it weird, rude, or impolite to request that we each pay for our own meals and drinks moving forward?
Absolutely not. That's not, no. Like, it's...
The friends should have already picked up on that.
Yeah, I feel like they're the worst friends, actually, for just...
Maybe they're just like, well, they didn't say anything about it, so apparently they're fine with it. There's some people that just believe if nobody said anything, then everybody's okay with it.
I think there's a lot to be said, though, too. Like, you know, what are these people's financial situations as well? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you got a couple of rich socialites going out to dinner, you know, a lot of people don't think about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Me? Pay for your drinks. Like, I can't afford that.
Right.
I can't afford to buy you something off the dollar menu.
Maybe mentioned, was it, wow, I can't believe drinks cost that much. Woo, anyway, here's my share. Or you go Dutch.
Yeah, that's really what you have to do. And I'm amazed how often this comes up. This exact thing comes up in these advice things. The people that, like, split the check when they go out somewhere all the time. Like, I don't find myself doing that much. Mostly because I'm too cheap to pay other people's tabs. Well,
it's not hard to just say, hey, we have separate tabs. You know, that's what me and my wife do when we're out on a double date. Like, it's not that hard. You know?
Yeah.
Or even if I'm just out to eat with my buddy, like, you just tell him, I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah, there. Right. There isn't. There isn't.
I think a conversation needs to be had, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
I don't think it's rude at all.
The friend couple, they just think it's business as usual, and even though the other couple is kind of abstained.
Actually, they might
from
not even be thinking about it, actually.
They might not even be... They're like, absolutely, we'll definitely pay for our own way. You teetotalers. You wusses.
Sober people.
How about we pay for your unsweetened iced tea? There you go. How does that make you feel?
It'd be funny if they brought up the three refills on your Diet Coke that you will...
Whoa, easy now. I know they're free, but damn.
Expect me to pay for all those refills? An extra side of ranch.
Exactly. you had to go for the appetizer. I don't remember getting any appetizer. Your appetizer was a Tom Collins.
they're actually probably thinking the same thing. They're like, you ever notice since they got sober, they want they order heavier, they get bigger food, they get bigger portions, and they expect us to pay for half of that.
Like, yeah, yeah.
They're now just ordering the filet every place they go.
Yeah.
That's how you get that. Okay, we've already figured it out. Just go for the most expensive thing on the menu and go just say, I guess we're gonna go 50-50 on this.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, I think we should split. I'm like, fine. And meanwhile, wife are fist bumping under the table.
But for real, it is not hard to just, hey, we got separate tabs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who doesn't do that?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever gone out to dinner with another couple and said, yeah, let's just split the check down the middle. I think that's weirder.
That is weird. Like, I've never done that.
That would put too much pressure on me on what I order. And when I'm at a restaurant, I don't go to restaurants that often. So when I do, going all out.
I want what I want.
I want what I want. I want either a former dead animal, knock off the horns, wipe it, and then bring it to me.
A former dead animal?
Now
it's a zombie?
I want you to kill it in front of me.
Corpse.
How's the zombie chicken today? Oh, it's fantastic. Could you bring me the Jesus steak?
You know what's funny? You told me to take it easy on my way in here today. Like this.
I don't want you standing me up.
Be careful. We might get pulled.
Like, I don't want you topping me now.
Where they're making dead Jesus jokes. Like,
as it turns out, Adam was the one I had to worry about getting us canceled.
Yeah, there is a couple of times I've had to been reeled in.
You've been chewed out before. That's okay.
Yeah. From a lot of times when my wife has been listening. You said what?
Like, that was a quote from Brad Pitt in Inglorious Bastards.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll get chewed out. I've been chewed out before. It's fine.
That's a great movie. Do we want to talk about Dustin's career coming up? Or
we'll do that next, because okay. I have one more letter I want to throw by.
Okay.
Y'all.
Yes.
Have a little bit more fun here.
I could do this all day. This is fun.
Oh, yeah. This is easy. This is good.
So, dear, does anyone still read these? I met someone in real life, and I asked via messenger if she would like to hang out. Yeah, you noticed that, too? This guy's a total nerd. Just,
in real
life, I met someone in real life, a real person, a real
woman.
She
wasn't an avatar or anything.
The icons on messenger say she's not seen the message, although that may mean she saw the preview of the message as a push notification but didn't read the whole thing. The part that shows up in the preview should get the idea across. I share a community with this person, and we're in a large chat group on another messaging app, so I could get in touch with her that way. If I contacted her, I might say that I sent a message through Messenger and she didn't appear to have seen it. And if she hasn't seen it, she might want to look. And if she has, then I'm sorry for the superfluous second message, which she can ignore. Or maybe that's pushing too much. Regardless of how this resolves, this person and I are likely to be in the same space as each other a few times a month going forward. And I would like to be friends, or, if that possibility has been squandered, not make things untenably awkward or unpleasant for either of us.
Have this conversation in person. Like, yeah. I mean, you sent that message. You're afraid if she read it or not. And apparently, you, as he put it, shares a community.
Yeah. He shares her. Yes.
If he's really interested, I don't.
So it doesn't sound like it's all digital. Like he doesn't have any moments with her.
Yeah, apparently they met in person, but now he's
and they see each other in person multiple times a month.
I thought this was all done online. Okay, yeah. If he has sent that message and she hasn't responded, take that as a hint.
Well, and also he doesn't know that she's seen it though. Because it's been sent, she hasn't opened the message.
She left it unread.
But you can also go through and say mark it as unread and take it off of there. But so do you guys think that he should say, hey, did you get my message the other day?
In person, yes. Say that in person. Yeah. And then if she just says yes, then leave it alone.
Yeah. Then you have your answer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right there, yeah. As opposed to, you know,
or
making
if she
a scene
hasn't,
in front
she'll
of everybody.
Go look at it, and then you'll have your answer one way or the other with that.
Yeah, or are you going to laugh emoji?
It does sound like just having listened to you read that top to bottom, like I don't know. This, I don't know. He tries a little hard.
It sounds like he might have been kind of a recluse, and he's really put himself out there. He just doesn't know what the next logical step should be. And I think maybe without embarrassing her in public and you know, just being kind of nonchalant, hey, did you get my message the other day? Or send her another message, maybe something completely off topic, and so she'll see it and then see both of them. Maybe, because I've done that a couple times. I get a bunch of messages from people, and I completely skim over it and completely forget to check some. So it might be
that could absolutely happen, for sure.
I would bring it up in person.
Yeah.
Just because you get my message.
Easier that way.
Simple.
Leaves a lot less room for interpretation that way.
Because if she wants to read it, she'll read it.
If she doesn't want to read it, then she don't care that much, and then you basically have your answer anyway.
Or a stupid romantic gesture.
Oh, no, not the grand romantic... this is not Love Actually, Hera Huck.
That's right.
This is real life.
That's right. She'll be like in a study group, or she'll be at work, and you just come riding in on a motorcycle or something like that. I bequeath my love to you.
You'll get your answer that way, too, real quick.
No, but I'm 95% certain that it will not be the answer that you'll want it to.
No. It might be in the form of pepper spray.
Yeah, you there may be a PPO or something at that point. So that's a whole other letter you're going to have to write at a future date.
Right. Simple, in person, did you get my message? Leave it alone.
Yeah. There you go.
He's way too good at this.
He is.
And I wish him all the luck, too.
Yep.
I mean, I met my wife on MySpace, believe it or not.
Like, wow. Really?
She popped up as a person you may know.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, she's super hot.
Yeah.
Like, and I pulled up her page, and, you know, I wanted to make sure she was real first, because, you know, you get all those weird bots with, like,
yes.
pictures and stuff.
Oh, yes.
And she had a boyfriend, and we were... The next 3 years kind of ensued like a romantic comedy. Like, I was chasing this girl with this guy, and then eventually, you know, I got my shot, and we were...
Hey.
I was the grand romantic gesture guy for a very long time. It eventually paid off, but it took some time.
What was the gesture that sealed the deal?
You know, it's crazy. So, and it actually kind of ties into comedy and with the Picks, actually. So I did a show at the Picks in 2012. It was the summer of June of 2012.
Okay.
And
I think I was working that show.
You probably were. And we were friends, you know, for a good 3 years. And, you know, she knew, you know, I wanted more and this and that. And she was very supportive. Like, anytime there was a local show, she would come to it. And so, knowing that I had this show at the Picks coming up, I went to her apartment one night and just kind of laid it on the line. I was like, look, you know, we belong together. It is what it is, and this and that. And I did it like that because I knew with the show at the Picks coming up like 2 weeks later that if she still came to that show after I laid it out, then
you're still in. Yeah,
we
yeah.
did it, right? And I knew that if she didn't come, like after I laid it on the line, that was my answer. And she showed up, and within the next week, like we were dating, and it was.
That's awesome.
That's a long story for another day, but like it was very romantic comedy esque for about three. Like it was like me chasing her for 3 years, making an ass out of myself constantly. And
he set it up that way before the show because if she shoots me down, then well, this is some great material for this show.
But yeah, she was there. She was there in the front row, and I remember it stood out to me because her and her best friend and her mom were sitting right there in the front. And I had so much because I saw her like right away. And, like I was on a high just from seeing her, and like I had a little more pep in my step that night and everything just because of it. And it was June 23rd, 2012. I'll always remember that date.
His opening bit was, "So I'm trying to nail this woman." Hey, I said, if you Google MySpace, I'll Twitter on your Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Oh, is that your mom? I'm sorry.
This is why Adam doesn't do grand romantic gestures.
No.
We'll have more with Dustin Cole coming up here on the other side of the break. It is happy hour. We got comedian Dustin Cole joining us in studio. He's got a show coming up tomorrow night, as a matter of fact.
Tomorrow night, we're at Lightning Rounds. Yeah, they call it the Thunderdome, I'm being told.
Like there's a bar, restaurant, and then they opened up that garage door when entertainment happens, and it's a whole other world over there. It
sounds
awesome.
Dangerous.
Like, I love it.
I love it.
You'll enjoy it so much. You're appearing with whom, or are you flying solo?
Nope, I'll be there with a few friends. Me and Ryan Brown are co-headlining it. Mark Bonto out of Flint actually is the host.
We know them.
You know Mark?
We know of him. I think we've seen him.
Yeah, he hosts a lot of stuff out in Flint. He's gonna be the host for the night, and then. And I feel really horrible about this because I've never met her, but her first name's Lori. She's coming out and doing a guest spot too. Yeah, and
gotcha.
I haven't worked with her yet, but I've heard she's funny. But yeah, it's gonna be a great time. I guess it's their second show. I guess they did one in June, and this is their second one. This is the command show, and we're gonna hopefully have a sell.
Yeah, Lightning Rounds. Low ticket warning. How much are tickets? Do you know?
I believe they're $15. I remember looking. Yeah, it was reasonable. Whatever it was. Yeah, it wasn't insane. So,
it's a
Lori
nice
Goldman.
Open,
that's the
Lori
guest
Goldman.
Spot.
Yeah. And it's a nice open area. It's a cool place. You're gonna have a great time. People who go out and see you are gonna have a great time.
Well, I actually get performed out to there 2015 when it was Sidetracks.
Sidetracks,
yeah.
Yes.
And I did something out there. I remember it was the holidays because I remember there was like a Christmas tree up or something like that.
But, I vaguely remember
so
a Christmas
I've done
tree.
The stage. Haven't done the since the venue name change and stuff.
They've redecorated a little bit. Add a little bit more of a little bit more pizzazz to everything, and the owner is going to take really good care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have been working quite a bit. I mean, you've taken some time off for yourself and the family during the summer, but you recently tour a lot with Bobcat Goldthwait,
yes.
Which it piqued my interest because I've been a huge. I saw Bobcat Goldthwait at Pine Knob in 1992 with Kevin Meaney opening. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. But to talk to you, who has regular contact with a guy.
It's surreal to me too. Like even like sometimes I'll get a text message from him just because he'll be like, oh, I thought you'd think this is funny. You know, it's just, and it's the weirdest thing to get at the top, because I have him in the contacts as Bobcat Goldthwait, just because I want it to blow my mind every time I get a phone call or a text instead of just Bob or whatever. And it's still surreal to me too, but he's 100%, and I'll take this to my grave. He's the GOAT. Like I've never seen anybody better in person. Like
he's quite a career on him. I mean, yeah, he's done his acting. He's got the Police Academy. He always says, "Yeah, I'm the guy from the Police Academy movies." But he's been the director. He had been the director for the Jimmy Kimmel Show for many years. He was a director for one of Eliza Schlesinger's, one of my favorite comics, one of her specials. A lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he directs.
He's actually right now. Actually, I think this month sometime. I could be wrong. It might be the fall, but I know he's directing Pete Davidson's special too.
Really?
Minnesota somewhere. I think at a comedy club in Minnesota.
He's allowed out of Staten Island? Because I mean, he's usually right around that whole New York area. Now, because one of my favorite things was, and it took me a while when I'm watching the movie Blow. And he has a scene with Johnny Depp and Paul Rubens. And I'm not going to blow it because you guys have got to see. He talks about it in his stand-up comedy special, You Don't Look the Same Either. Funny stuff.
Such a great line, too, by the way. The bit behind the title of that special is hilarious.
Yeah, You Don't Look the Same Either. He takes the stage, he's like, yeah, you don't look the same either. But, you know, I mean, he looks great. Slim down. He
does. Like, he looks better than he ever. Like, he's... I don't know. He doesn't even look like when I first worked with him a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, had you not told me that you're working with Bobcat Goldthwait tonight, and I just walked in there, like, and I was in, like, I would have no idea that it was Bobcat Goldthwait. Like,
yeah.
He's done a 180, and he looks great.
You did some shows over in New Mexico. I don't think I've ever met a human being who's actually been in New Mexico.
I had neither until I went. Like, it was. But yeah, that was fun. Yeah, we did Quezada's Comedy Club and Cantina, I think is what it was called, in Albuquerque. We did a weekend there in June. That was a lot of fun. That was my first time out to the American Southwest.
Yeah.
Beautiful area.
Good crowds out there?
Yeah, and you know, it's always interesting because, you know, I had never performed in New Mexico. I'd never been to New Mexico, never performed in New Mexico. Not even in the region. I'd never been to the region. And it's always a little nerve-wracking if you're doing a club in a new state because, you know, I do well around here. I know I hit in Flint, you know, in the Michigan area, the Midwest, certain pockets of the Midwest, like people really like me.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they do. And so it starts getting in your head. You're like, okay, I'm going to New Mexico. Am I even funny in New Mexico? I don't know. You know, and so like you're afraid.
I don't know Spanish.
You're afraid to do that first show on the Thursday night because you're like, okay, if this doesn't go well, I still got like four more of these I got to do. But every crowd was amazing. They were all super into it. It's such a great club. It's actually run by Stephen Michael Quezada, who was in Breaking Bad.
Oh,
actually, and wow. he's a very good comedian in his own right too. So he runs a top notch club out there. And
I mean, I kind of, without like really kind of breaking down your entire act, because I've seen your act in these parts, and it kind of, a lot of references to things in the area. I mean, you can't exactly go to Albuquerque and talk about things that happened in Lapeer, Michigan, or Flint, or something like that.
You make it work, though. Like for instance, you know, without giving too much away, you know, I do a bit about opening for Girls Gone Wild back in the day in Lapeer at Louis, and you know, but what I always do is, like, for instance, you know, when I get to a town, I kind of, like, for instance, like, say New Mexico, I land the second I start talking to somebody that works, they go, hey, what's a surrounding town with like a dive bar that might have went out of business or something, and I go, the last time I was in the area, I did this, and so that Girls Gone Wild story, I always make it sound like it
could have been, okay,
it
you make it relatable. Okay,
now here, like, if I tell, like, that bit destroys in this area because people remember it. They're
they
like,
were
yes,
there.
Girls,
I've heard
Wild
it three times,
there.
And I still laugh.
And so, like, it does well everywhere just because everybody remembers Girls Gone
it's
Wild.
It's like a Walking Dead of horny people.
But around here, yeah, people remember. They're like, yeah, that was here. That did happen, and they And they remember it. And it I open with the bit now. Like, that's actually the first story I roll into on stage now. And it's always
you're going to be at lightning rounds tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll kill there.
Yeah, you're going to crush it there. Yeah. Where else are you going to be?
This month, I actually got another semi-local gig coming up in a couple weeks in Cass City. I do a campground out there once a year. Yeah, Evergreen Park in Sanilac County. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
a buddy
great place.
Of mine, his name's Joe Ewald, actually. He's the manager of the park, and he has me there once every August, and I usually bring a different crew. And I'll actually be at the Laughter on the Lakeshore Comedy Festival that same weekend, but the night before, which is out in Muskegon. And that's their inaugural weekend for that event. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then I got a couple of things rolling in Ohio near the end of the month, and that'll round out August for me.
Awesome.
But a pretty big and busy fall coming up. I'll actually be with Bobcat again in November. I think the last weekend in November will be at the Underground Laugh Lounge, which is in Niles, Michigan, which I guess is kind of down by that Michigan area.
Southwest, kind of, yeah. Okay.
So if you want to see Bobcat,
I don't believe you. Call him. No, I don't believe that's the place that exists.
No, don't.
At first, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I don't know where, like, does anyone want to go? And Niles, like, for some reason, it sounded like it was in a different state. You know what I mean? Niles, it just sounds kind of southern to me. And I didn't quite know.
People up in this area, like, I don't know anything about Southwest. I realize that. I didn't realize until about 10 years ago there was a new Buffalo down there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, there's already Buffalo's bad enough. You're going to have your own city, and you're going to name a new Buffalo?
Probably fewer tables being set on fire and jumped through, I would think.
Best fans in the world.
There was more like coffee tables there.
It is wild, too, because it's like, how do you determine what a town or a city is even going to be called? You know what I mean? Like, where does, like, New Buffalo? Yeah, because
it's decided, like, back in the 1800s. When was the last time you actually heard a city named within the last 10 years?
I think
they tried the Camden, what did they try to call Burton or Flint?
No, they were trying to rename Flint Township.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Camden Yards or something like
Camden
that.
Yards. Yeah, that's what it was.
Every time I'm coming home from a gig somewhere south and I start to get close to home, and I'll be on I-75, I think, and you pass like this overpass with a sign on it says, "Welcome to Auburn Hills."
Yeah.
And it says established 1983. And that always gets me, because I always go, what was this before 1983? Was
it like a big old...
That's what I mean.
A Revolutionary War?
It's crazy. It's like, what was in Auburn Hills in 1982? Like, what was this place?
Just
like
a giant cornfield, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. And then they put up a palace and then tore it down.
Yeah, starting in the early 80s, like, and then through the 80s, like, Auburn Hills was just booming. They were like, we're not a place. Now we're all of a sudden a city. Oh, and by the way, the Pistons play here.
Yeah, you know, and now nothing's going there. We're just we're passageway to Detroit.
It's so sad to me when I drive by where the palace was. Because I love Detroit sports. Just like you guys, the Pistons are number one for me. Like, I've always been, because my dad got me into basketball, I've always been a super big Detroit Pistons fan.
Okay.
And so driving by where the palace was is always...
Such a great building.
It's so depressing.
It's such a waste.
Not to see it there anymore, and it's very sad.
Can you hang out with us for a little while?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
we'll hit a break. We'll come back more with Dustin Cole here on Happy Hour. Stick around. Happy Hour. Comedian Dustin Cole joining us in studio. He's going to be at Lightning Rounds tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Along with comedians Mark Bonto, Lori Goldman, and Ryan Brown. You're trying to talk Adam into doing a 5-minute set out there, but... he just doesn't have his... all of his airline food jokes ready yet.
I don't have enough CVS jokes about receipt. Yeah, I don't have enough jokes about CVS receipts, so I'll have to come back to on that one. But
whenever you're ready, man,
I'll just rip off Jim Gaffigan's set, and we'll just go for it.
Well, the thing is, here's what's funny about that. So the job is to get out there and make the people laugh.
Yes.
You know what I mean? whatever it takes to make that happen. I mean, we're in a bar.
People laugh on stage unintentionally, but
yeah, go nuts. Like, who cares? Use Jim Gaffigan. Be Jim Gaffigan. Who cares? They
just do 5 minutes about hot pockets.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, someday I'm going to take you up on that offer. That's going to absolutely. That'd be a lot of fun.
Anytime.
He's been threatening to do this for years.
Yes, yes, I have. We actually have done we do a bit on the show called "This List Is Trash," and multiple times we've done the top 20 stand-up comedians, and through Ranker, because that changes all the time, and mm-hmm. it's just Sam Kinison is never number one, and he's number one in my heart.
It's funny. Bobcat tells me stories sometimes about how people.
He's probably got some great stories.
They'll meet him and they'll be like, "Wait, I thought you were dead," but it's because they're thinking he's Sam Kinison. Like they, like they get them confused sometimes.
I thought you were. He's probably got some great stories because I mean he has been like best friends with Kurt Cobain, Robin Williams, and he's good friends with you. So I mean, the time's ticking on you, bud.
Yeah, he's got stories for days for sure. Like he's my favorite moments doing like a run with him is all, like we have lunch together like every day. For the most part, he kind of like because you know he's a writer, he's a director, so he's constantly taking these Zoom meetings and stuff like that. But he always he's like, "Hey, you want to go grab a bite? You know, we'll go." And you know he's vegan, so we got to find some out of the way. You know, place. It's always hard to find, but it's always fun because we're always you know just looking for a place. And then we get there and we have good conversation. And
I mean, when he's not on, quote unquote, what's he like?
He's the most normal guy. Like, he's the sweetest guy. I'm not even kidding. Like, he is. When you meet Bobcat and you talk to him for about 5 minutes, you forget that you're talking to a legend. Like, he's the most down-to-earth guy. And, like, it was. When we first worked together at Flanagan's, like, I did a guest spot there.
Yeah.
And it was after that show that made me go, I got to do more with this guy, you know, and I started reaching out to him and I reached out to the agency that put that show together and stuff like that. And luckily, you know, we had a few things fall in and here
that
we
was
are a couple years
that
later.
That was a birth, if I remember correctly, I'm not going to blow anything, but the antithesis, the debut of the DVD.
The current bit, and it, like I said, I won't give too much away,
no.
But you know, it's a bit about a celebrity and an illegal drug. But the bit started out completely different about a different celebrity and about a DVD player and not an illegal drug. So it was like that was the first time it ever saw the light because that night I had a new 7 minutes I was working out and they were like, "Yeah, if you want to come do a guest spot, we'll give you 7 minutes." And you know, I was like, "Cool, I got this new 7 minutes. This works out perfect." I went up and did this 7 minutes of this brand new bit that I was working on, and it only got so, you know, I did okay, but I, you know, didn't get the pop that
I was
wanted
there.
To.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. So I did that bit. And then afterwards, you know, I'm hanging out talking to Bobcat and we're clicking and we're the only two people left in the green room. And I'm sitting there thinking in my head, "You idiot. They gave you 7 minutes in front of Bobcat Goldthwait. You did brand new material. You should have did the highlight package that just..." But, I mean, even it all worked out in the end. But, like, that night, I was kicking myself for a while for doing brand new stuff in front of Bobcat Goldthwait.
See, now I was going to bring up the next celebrity, but I don't want to blow it.
Do it. It's fine.
Well, I mean, working with Ron Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've worked with Ron. Yeah, and that's what the bit evolved into. You know, it was a bit about a completely different celebrity
mm-hmm.
and a DVD player, and it grew into a bit that about working with Ron Jeremy.
I guess there's not, like, I've seen him on The Surreal Life. I've seen him in interviews. He's not really hiding anything, is he?
He's an enigma. At this point in his life, he's...
Oh,
well, at this point in his life, he's in jail currently.
Yes.
Is he really?
He's in prison.
Yeah, he's in prison. He's in prison.
So what's he up to these days? Well...
But he's very... I don't even know if I want to use the word disappointing, but it's
yeah.
You meet him, and he's kind of in his own world. He doesn't, he's a lot, and this is probably the worst word to use given what he did, but he's smaller than you'd ever met. Like he's just a little guy. Yeah. Like he's maybe like 5'3". Like he's just a little
five foot three.
Maybe he's a little taller, but
okay.
I'm 6 foot and I know he's a bit shorter than I was or am. And that's why
he looks longer.
But it's really, you see him, you're like, huh. Like that was my immediate thought. I was like, hey, you know, I never would have pegged it, and he goes up there. Well, he would go up there, and he would do a little bit of, just simple. I don't want to say knock knock jokes, but just because the thing is,
one liners kind of Red Fox style.
When you go to see someone like him, who's not a comedian, but they're doing it, people are there because they want to get a picture taken with him. They want to get his autograph, stuff like that. They're not necessarily there for the show.
Right.
So, like, it would be a situation where, like, me and a couple other comedians would go up and do, like, 15, 20 minutes each, and then he would kind of close the show with, like, 10, and then do, like, a Q&A, which is what's kind of big with him, because people would obviously float out.
You have billions of questions for that guy, I'm sure.
Why are you called the Hedgehog?
Yeah. And then afterwards, like, there was the meet and greet,
It reminds me of
that's why people were there.
First time I seen you was friend of the station, you were opening for Darren McCarty.
Yeah, I've done a lot of shows with Darren over the years. Yeah,
it's kind of like that because it was you and I want to say
same idea.
He got all the comics, but then he would come up and just kind of
talk hockey,
which was I was fine with. I was totally
that's the
cool
thing.
With.
Yeah, he would go up and he would tell some stories, and then even like with Ron, it's the meet and greet. People want to shake his hand, they want to take a pic, and to Darren's credit, nobody's better at the meet and greet than Darren McCarty.
He is great.
He will stay there for 5 hours if that's what it takes to give each fan their moment of, a 2 to 5 minute conversation. He remembers people. Like if you met him at a golf outing or something, like he'll I don't know if he's making.
He ran to us at a Wings game once.
Right. Yeah, right in a suite where we're at.
Just had to wander into our suite. Like.
Dustin, thank you very much for hanging out with
us,
man. We appreciate it. If we have you back, we come back.
100%. Let's do it.
All right.
I am in.
On that note, in our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Paul Walker, Bobcat Goldthwait, Scott Harris, Olympic boxers, Lori Goldman, and Jim Gaffigan. We're sorry.
How about the Hedgehog?
given what he did after, we probably should be apologizing to him. On that note, stick around. We got a full hour of local original something or other coming
tax
up.
Tax evasion. We're going to teach you how to get
tax
rid of
invasion?
The evasion. Get rid of your taxes. The feds will never know. No, it's an hour of Michigan-made music. This time, I'm tipping the cap to Michigan-made country. That's right.
What is this station again? Your local alternative, right? And we're doing an hour of country music coming up in the middle of drive time on a Friday.
Thumb's greatest hits. I'm definitely swaying away from the center line for this one.
A little bit.
I'm bringing in country music from the Family Tradition Band, Emily Peischer, Hard Luck Pete, and the Wrong Way Streets, and a lot of great country. It's going to be a great time.
Good times. Fun will be had by all.
Yes.
Fun will be had by you, at least.
I'll enjoy it. I do like kicking back to some of the some local country that they've got going on, because there's some great stuff out here.
I mean,
a lot of these people are probably not even seeing a cow in real life, but they sound great.
That sounds like about half my high school graduating class. On that note... Sessions is up next. All being well, we'll talk to you Monday at 3. Next time you hear from me, I'll be out at the San Lat County Youth and 4-H Fair in the thriving metropolis of Sandusky. Talk to you then. See ya.